Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Arthur Schultz. I represent 65 non-liturgical Navy chaplains, both former and present, and two endorsing agencies. And with the court's permission, I will reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Your Honor, the appellants bring before this court three issues. The first question is whether or not the appellants have standing to challenge a program which for 24 years first commissioned clergy, Catholic clergy, well beyond the statutory and regulatory age limits. And second, then continued them on past the normal separation ages. And third, placed those who have not yet achieved 20 years time in service to qualify for retirements in the retired reserve, although none of them met any of the established DOD or statutory requirements for reserve. We cite in our example the example of Chaplain Steed, who retired at age 77, having spent 17 of his 20 years past the statutory retirement age of 60.
I thought you said you were first going to go to standing.
Your Honor, I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm just, the question, Your Honor, this court in Chaplaincy for Gospel Churches versus England defined the harm that flows from a denominational preference. It was the message of marginalization directed at those who are not in the favored denomination. It also said that there is an equal message of preference for those in the favored denomination. The law is well established that the
Your standing here is not based on any discrimination claim. Your standing is based on the message, right?
Yes, Your Honor. It's a message of marginalization or discrimination.
Well, no. It's a message of favoritism. But there's no discrimination claim because none of the plaintiffs have asked for a treatment they've been denied. Is that correct?
Your Honor, in Chaplaincy for Gospel Churches said there were two messages. There was one of your favor. There was the other that says, we dislike you. You're second-class citizens. That's the message we're talking about.
Well, it would be your argument is the favoritism of the liturgical group. Beg your pardon?
You know, in this case, it's Catholics specifically.
Okay, the favoritism of Catholics is a message that it violates the Establishment Clause, just like a creche.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And that message would give me standing, right?
Yes, Your Honor, but it
would give anybody who heard your case standing, right?
Yes, Your Honor. Go that far.
Yes, Your Honor.
Your brief argues.
Beg your pardon, Your Honor.
Argues that the plaintiffs here are or have been all members of the Navy chaplaincy program.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's the universe we're talking about here. We're not talking about if Silverman or me and our the impact that this preference has on us.
Yes, Your Honor. I understood his question to say would that offend others? And I think the answer to that is yes. There's Catholic is both a noun and an adjective. And the Navy says, we prefer Catholics. That's a message that should offend anybody that loves the Constitution. In this case, it says, we also like Catholic chaplains. That's a message which directly impacts and targets the appellants because they're not Catholics, and it tells them they are not full members of a community which violates
well,
their status quo.
Under your theory, as I understand it, that message conveyed to anybody, but directly conveyed to those people, would give them standing. Because if the government is favoring Catholics for anything, that would give anybody who is the recipient of the message standing to claim that's a violation of the Establishment Clause.
Yes, sir, and I believe Canada, Allegheny, and under McCreary County, Your Honor is correct.
So I would have standing.
Yes, Your Honor.
I see. Now, in the cases in which the Establishment Clause cases that come up in the Supreme Court, there's seldom any discussion of standing because it's assumed. It's, for instance, somebody who walks by a crash who lives in a town and walks by a crash would clearly have standing, just as an environmental plaintiff would have standing if somebody cuts down the tree in front of their house. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
But does it also follow? How about this hypothetical? Suppose the city of Portland, Maine, wants to put a creche in its center of town. Would a plaintiff in Honolulu who reads about that have standing?
No, Your Honor, they would not.
Why not?
Because there is no direct contact with it. I think that the court addressed that in Valley Forge, that there has to be some connection with it. And
connection being some, being what?
The exposure to it, Your Honor. I think that's exposure.
All right. Well, once they read about the fact, suppose it's the federal government putting out the crash in Portland, Maine. Once the Hawaii person reads about it, that's it. He has the message is out, and he has standing under your theory. Isn't that right?
No, Your Honor, that's not what our theory. In fact, our theory is that in our case, we have direct contact with that because of the small community. We cite the example of Chaplain Stewart.
Suppose a movie is sent to Hawaii of the crash in Portland, Maine. Is that enough?
Your Honor, I believe that all cases show that the plaintiff has to be particularized. He must show that he has come in direct contact, and usually it's unavoidable. In fact, I would like to cite the Joint Appendix, page 499, the district court cited a case called Littlefield versus Forney Independent School District. He cited that to say that Establishment Clause standing is a, quote, queer duck, close quote. That footnote cites three cases, one from the Fifth Circuit, the Fourth Circuit, and the Second Circuit, all of which address the question of whether or not direct exposure to a challenge practice provided standing. The conclusion of that footnote says,
if I understood your theory, if you get the message, you've gotten the exposure.
Yes, Your Honor, and Chaplain Stewart worked side by side with Lieutenant Commander Erstein until Erstein retired last July. And every day that message is communicated to Chaplain Stewart. And I would submit to you that this notification goes out in other means. There's rosters, there's conferences. We're talking about a small community of less than 900 people who interact and are moved back and forth. So the message is not one that you can ignore or that you can take steps to avoid.
But I wonder about taking the message issue from the cases with creches or the Ten Commandments and transforming it or carrying it into the employment discrimination context. I mean, Justice O'Connor's opinion and Curious Joel and many others talks about each issue has to be analyzed in its own category. Well, I'm not sure the category of public displays really fits well with employment discrimination cases to say, even though you yourself are in a workplace and are not subject or have not alleged specifically that you're discriminated against, the fact that someone else is carries a message of discrimination or endorsement that is unconstitutional. That seems like that would eliminate some of the standing requirements that have always been present in discrimination cases, Allen v. Wright and the like.
Your Honor, in this case, these appellants are not arguing other people's rights. They're arguing their rights. And in Lumon versus Defenders of Wildlife, it defines zones of interest. It said if your zone of interest is invaded by a practice, then you have standing.
But
and
them,
this court,
them, just to follow up on that, none of them has applied for the post 62 chaplaincy and been denied, correct?
Your Honor, that's because this program, the 4109, is a religious gerrymander. It draws lines around and says, we're only going to take you guys who are over 42 and put you in. Now, the appellants, or rather the appellees, have not questioned our argument that the Secretary of Navy Instruction, 1120.4A, which establishes the age requirement, sets a maximum age of 42. 40 is the normal requirement. You can waive it up to age 42. There is no provision in there for further extensions or waivers And yet, these people that we're talking about come in at age 44, age from 43 on up to age 57, I believe somewhere in the record is when we came in at 59 or 60, well, not 60, but certainly 58. That's way beyond the statutory limits, which are, at that time were tied into Title X's requirement of mandatory separation at age 60 if you're a reservist, and the retirement age of age 62 if you were a regular. Now, as I said, the district court completely ignored the zone of interest. It acknowledged this court's a definition of the harm in its holding, and then it suddenly jumped into taxpayer standing without analyzing either the message or the specific harm that this court defined.
Is there any case in the employment context that's ever recognized this kind of message endorsement?
Your Honor, I'm not aware of any, and that the issue is that what is consistent with the County of Allegheny, the Kresh cases, the Ten Commandments cases, and those kinds of displays are that it's the government that's prohibited, and this court found that that is an absolute, how should I say, forbidden to the government. It says that the zone of interest is invaded once the government oversteps the limitation based on, by the Establishment Clause. It takes nothing further. It takes no action on our part. And this court specifically used the term harm. The district court completely ignored that question.
Do you think on your theory last year the Supreme Court said there's no taxpayer standing to challenge the faith-based office of the White House? Do you think someone who worked in the White House or worked in the, at the hotel where the conferences were would have standing to challenge the message?
I know, Your Honor, because in that case, Hine, it said you had to attack a specific government program. You had to get beyond that, and you had to show a nexus between that the expenditure and the
right,
activity.
That's for taxpayer standing, which, but assuming there's no taxpayer standing, could there be standing on the ground that you're offended by the message conveyed? Say you work at the hotel where the faith-based conference is occurring, you're offended by the message that's being conveyed by the faith-based conference. You have standing in that case?
Your Honor, I will tell you I'm not certain of that question right now. I don't think so, because you could look at certain enactments. You'd have to get beyond just the message, because I think you could argue the other side of accommodation.
Yeah.
You could argue accommodation. Of course, then you have to go into the Lemon analysis. You know, I'm into my time reserved for rebuttal, unless you have questions.
May it please the Court, I'm Lowell Sturgill from the Department of Justice, representing the Secretary of the Navy. I don't usually do this, but I believe the Court has plowed most of the ground that I plan to cover, and I'm happy to answer any questions the
Court
may have.
What if there were a sign that said, in the workplace, that said, availability for chaplains over age 62, no Protestants need apply, and some 45-year-old chaplain wants to bring suit challenging that?
I think if a chaplain or a person is personally exposed to a sign like that, there would be traditional standing, and it's more like the monument cases that the Court has discussed. The problem with the plaintiff's theory is that it's too broad, and that their case really looks like Allen versus Wright. Mm-hmm. In Allen versus Wright, you have the Supreme Court holding that students who attended public schools in the same communities as students who attended private racially segregated schools didn't have standing, based on the stigma that they alleged, to challenge the IRS's alleged failure to revoke the tax exempt status.
Yeah, the court pointed out in that case, if that was true, someone in Hawaii would have a claim against somebody in Portland.
Exactly.
A case in Portland or a case in Mississippi.
That's exactly right. And we talk.
Why isn't this more like a situation where the parents in Allen v. Wright would have had their kids in those schools and then brought suit?
Because in a case like this, the plaintiffs could have found a party, well, could potentially have found a chaplain who was denied, theoretically, the same kind of age extension that they allege has been wrongly granted to these Catholic chaplains. If a person like that would have traditional Article III standing to sue because they've been denied equal protection.
In the chaplaincy program, they are exposed daily to the secretary's program.
Well, first of all, there is no program. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, they let a Jewish person in after this lawsuit was filed, but we're back to when the lawsuit was filed. And it was only happening for people of a certain faith. Why isn't that tantamount to a sign?
Because it's far too abstract and remote an exposure to satisfy. There's no case that's ever taken the monument exposure cases to that kind of an extent. And I think, again, it's just too broad and too diffuse to.
That's what I'm trying to understand. Isn't it narrower than the Koresh-type situation? I mean, they're in this program. They're serving their country. And the Navy is sending out a message that it's all well and good, but certain people of certain faiths get certain preferences.
Because I think in the real world, when a person is exposed to a monument, and then in the monument cases decides, like, well, I can't go this route anymore because this offends me, is a far more tangible harm than is alleged here, where the plaintiffs, they don't even have anybody who works with one of these Catholic chaplains anymore. They had one, but he retired.
So,
and you have to look to the forward, to the future.
But the record in this case, as you well know, shows this day-to-day contact and the feeling. Well,
I don't think it does at all.
All allegations against Buck Miller and then Rock and how they were treating non-liturgical. Now, I'm just saying for purposes of standing, all right, this is not abstract to
well,
people
that's
who are there, like it would be if I'm passing a creche that gives me a problem, so I decide to drive a different.
Well, with all respect, that I think those record sites you've given address a different part of the plaintiff's case.
I understand, but the point is, this is not hypothetical. This is day to day. This is the environment. That's all I'm getting at. It's not people in the community passing a crash. It's people in a small area. They're assigned to these posts, and Mr. Stewart may be assigned with one who's in this special program. I mean, that's all I'm getting at. But when would you ever have standing then? You'd have to apply for this, and the Navy would have to say you can't because you're not Catholic.
Well, let's say, let's
that
just.
That would certainly give you standing then.
Well,
or
I would understand what the government's
position
is.
Or also,
is.
You conceded.
Excuse me, Judge Silverman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Should I try to go back to your.
My question, that's right, yes.
The best I can remember it, first, I think. Again, it's too broad because the case is too much like Allen versus Wright, where you had school children in the same community as other school children. They would have probably seen these other school children on baseball teams, walking down the street. They were in the same community as these other children. So if you're looking to define subgroups, I think Allen takes care of that kind of thing. And then the other point, I think, is it's critical to look at what the claims involved in this motion are. The claims that the plaintiffs want a preliminary injunction on relate to the specific allegation that the Navy is retaining Catholic chaplains beyond the statutory limits. It has nothing to do with how individual commanders are treating individual chaplains
why
in the day-to-day.
Why is there standing in the Ten Commandments case?
Because the plaintiff alleges that he. Well, let's take the Texas case. The plaintiff alleged that he used the law library on the state capitol grounds. And he, to do that, to get there, he alleged he had to walk by the Ten Commandments monument, which he said offended his faith. Hence, he doesn't want to walk, he doesn't want to go to the law library anymore because that's the quickest way in. And the Supreme Court didn't address standing, but I think you could sort of, you could conclude that that's the kind of allegation that generally does satisfy Article III. And here you don't have that at all. Again, what you have is the most abstract kind of allegation you can think of. You have a plaintiff who is a chaplain. He goes to work every day. They don't even have a chaplain who works with one of the, who in the future or currently works with one of these other Catholic chaplains. Instead, you have the broadest possible. I think, Judge Kavanaugh, your hypothetical about the Hine case really is the closest appropriate hypothetical to this case. In Hine, there would be no taxpayer taxpayer or regular standing if just somebody was working in the White House and was aware of this policy. Now, if you had somebody who actually attended one of these White House conferences and would continue to do so in the future and was alleged they were exposed to the endorsement of religion, that kind of person would have traditional Article III standing. We don't have that here. So again, I think, and in Valley Forge, I think as Judge Silberman mentioned out, you know, at a circumstance where somebody learned through the newspaper that a federal agency had transferred federal property to surplus military property to a religious organization for free. And the Supreme Court held that's not enough to give somebody Article III, the mere exposure to this. And to give you another example, we have the Pledge of Allegiance cases going on now, and the plaintiffs there seek to challenge the federal statute that sets out the pledge. And their theory is, well, we're exposed to this federal statute because we're lawyers and we're involved in these kinds of things, and we see it offends us. And it just can't be the case, we've argued, that that would be it, because that would give anybody standing if they just happen to be exposed to the particular document they're opposed to. That person is a lot like, or in the shoes of the Texas case in the Ten Commandments, where he actually, there he walks by the Ten Commandments monument and it suffers personal exposure to an offense that would cause him to change his behavior. In the White House case, then, for example, you have a person who goes to the conference, is personally exposed to this alleged endorsement of religion, which, by the way, doesn't happen, and then maybe wouldn't choose to go to the next conference. Here you don't have that at all.
These people serve as chaplains. They're exposed. They, quote, attend the conference, namely, maybe chaplaincy. I don't quite see the difference here.
Well, first of all, I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't recall anything in the briefs about conferences that.
No, no, this is your hypothetical. Yeah. You're saying if somebody were to attend the faith-based conference, they would have standing, just like the man who walks by the crash on the way to the law library, and he's offended. And I just want to know, what is the distinction between people who are serving in the chaplaincy program who are exposed to this preference?
Well, I think the best I can do, and maybe I'm repeating myself, it gets to the nature of the exposure.
Yeah.
In the White House case, you have somebody who actually temporarily is offended and exposed to a particular object or a particular piece of speech or something that would make them just want to get up and walk out the door.
The distinction between the case in which a public institution is attempting to promulgate a message and one which is not? In the employment cases, there may be an argument of discrimination, which of course involves a palpable direct injury. But in this case, for instance, I see no showing that the Navy is attempting to put out a message. It is argued by plaintiff that a message is somehow deduced. But in all the other cases we think about, including the White House conference, but including the crash, the government is seeking to put out a message which favors a religion. So I think that's part of the answer to your question. The question is, the government seeking to promulgate a message.
I think that's an excellent way of looking at it. And again, here there is no program. The plaintiffs have concluded they think there's a program just by looking at how particular individual Catholics are treated.
But if you go to Judge Kavanaugh's question, if you put up a sign saying Catholic chaplains are being preferred, then there'd be no question the government would be promulgating a message.
Sure, that's right. Now, I don't want to, I think even in that hypothetical, I think it's not enough that somebody's just a member of the chaplain corps and just happens to have maybe been told about that sign by somebody else. I think we would say that.
You'd have to see it.
You'd have to see it, that's right.
And I'm not sure on the panel, I don't know the right answer on the, I mean, that's what this case is about, attending the conference. I don't know. I mean, that's, yeah, who knows? Can I ask you one question, which is on taxpayer standing, you deal with that by reference to Hine, and then you have an alternative argument based on the military power. And I just want to ask you about that alternative argument. That's still an Article 1, Section 8 power. It's still, I guess I don't understand why it comes within the category or outside the category of FLAST if it's Article 1, Section 8 spending to spend for one of the specifically enumerated powers in Article 1, Section 8 as opposed to the general welfare. It seems an odd, I mean, this is an area filled with odd distinctions, but that seems an odd distinction.
I think it gets back to the fact that the Supreme Court in Hine explained that the whole notion of Establishment Clause taxpayer standing is supposed to be a narrow exception, because the general rules we all know is that a taxpayer doesn't have standing.
So to cut through your answer, I think you're saying even if it's illogical, just construe it as narrowly as possible.
That's what the Supreme Court said. And in fact, what it did was limit, it limited FLAST to its facts and results.
Yeah.
And this,
okay.
If there are no further questions, we would ask the court to affirm.
I have one other question, and this is an odd question, and I will acknowledge that right up front. But do not your arguments then suggest that the court erred in the chaplaincy case in finding the necessary injury for a preliminary injunction?
I don't think so. And again, if you look at the opinion, and you would know this, I think, better than me, perhaps, but in the opinion, the court specifically reserved the fact that even if a mere Establishment Clause violation by itself is enough to establish a reparable injury, a plaintiff still has to have Article III standing. The court said that three times. It said it in a footnote. It said it when it mentioned that one of the ways that could happen is a plaintiff could have taxpayer standing in a case where there's no, you know, no direct injury. And it did so also by addressing a Seventh Circuit case called St. Charles, a cross case.
So is your reading of that opinion, just so I'm clear, that what that footnote conveys is that even if there is the necessary injury for purposes of preliminary injunction, the plaintiffs would still have to show injury in fact that is particularized?
That's correct.
And so the only point here is whether the particularization can consist of being a part of a government unit in which there is an activity that at least the court has previously said sends a message.
That's correct. The only caveat is the plaintiffs also allege taxpayer standing. That's the other way they could satisfy the Article III requirement. We think they can't, but you know, they allege two types of injuries, traditional and taxpayer. But that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. The question is personal exposure. Counsel for the appellees says if you have personal exposure, then you have standing. What more could be personal exposure than picking up a piece of paper that shows the status of 4109? What is also important in this case is if their accession and commissioning beyond age 42 is illegal, that in itself sends a message that the Navy is willing to violate its own rules, violate the statutes, just in favor of Catholics. We also have the case of the 4109s, which do not fit into any DOD or statutory required reserve category. And they say, oh, we can do that just because we're the Navy. And yet, that is not what the precedent of this court says. I would point out that the CFGC case discussed taxpayer standing only in the context of answering the Navy's suggestion that something more was needed than the harm caused by the violation. CFGC held, the Establishment Clause is implicated as soon as the government engages in impermissible action. Whereas here the charge is one of official preference of one religion over another, such government endorsement, quote, sends a message to non-adherents of the favored denomination that they are outsiders, not full members of the political community, and an accompanying message to adherents that they are insiders, favored members of the political community, citing Roger B. Donnelly. This harm to which appellants repeatedly refer throughout their, this harm to which appellants repeatedly refer throughout their briefs, here the message is the Navy prefers Catholics, occurs merely by virtue of the government's purportedly unconstitutional policy or practice establishing the religion without any concomitant protected conduct on the movement's parts. Your Honor, I'm out of time, but I'd like to make one comment. He said it's not a program for 24 years. A consistent practice over 24 years is somehow not a program. All you have to do is look at the record and you see when these people were, and they're still doing the same practice. That is a program, and I thank the court, unless you have more questions.
Thank you.